say, well, if there's ever been a time we needed that truth, this is that time. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. We got our eyes on the world. So many folks have had their eyes on the world way too much lately. And I tell you, they're all anxious and anxiety and depression and everything running rampant throughout. We just need to look at Him. Amen? I think it was the sweet missionary Amy Carmichael that said, look without, you'll be distressed. Look within, you'll be depressed. But look up and you'll be blessed. Amen? And we need to turn our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad this morning that everything's all right in my Father's house. Amen? It might be messed up in this old world, and it's going to get even more messed up. But thank God I'm glad where He's at, where we're going to be at, everything's all right. John chapter 1 this morning in the Word of God. John chapter number 1. You'll turn there with me. John chapter 1, and we'll get off and running here. I want to read just a few verses, starting in verse number 35 of John, chapter number 1, verse number 35, starting there. The sweet psalmist of Israel said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. You glad to be in church this morning? Amen. Amen. If you're there, verse 35, say amen. The Bible says, again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples looking upon Jesus as he walked. Now think about that for a moment. Man, that thing. And looking upon Jesus as he walked. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine seeing the sweet Son of God walking there and you just finally, you turn and look and there he stands. It's not what I'm preaching about. I just think that's a wonderful thought. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we need thy help this morning. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you cleanse me of my sin, that you'd empty me of self, and God, you'd fill me of all of you. Lord, we stand where the arm of flesh has failed us and will fail us, and I pray this morning, Holy Spirit of God, you'd roam the aisles in the out of the hearts of the men and women, the boys and girls, and God, you'd do that inner work that only you can do. Lord, without you, I realize I'm nothing. I certainly need you this morning. God, I pray that when it's all said and done, you'll help us give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in John chapter number 1, we have the record of the ministry of John the Baptist. And wow, what a ministry it was. And a wonderful picture we have of the kind of ministry, I believe we see a picture here of the kind of ministry and testimony that all of us should have. And that's simply a ministry that points people to Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it's all about. These disciples had been following John the Baptist, but John was not interested in them following him. Boy, we need more men like that today. John was not interested in them following him, but he was interested in pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he makes the statement that he must increase and I must decrease. Would to God more ministries would adopt that philosophy. Would to God more preachers and teachers and leaders and workers would get a hold of this truth. There are way too many ministries where the minister or the leader is seeking a following instead of pointing people to the one who they need to be following. And I'm simply saying what a ministry John the Baptist had. Well, John stops here. He stops these disciples in their tracks and he makes this statement. He, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And immediately the two disciples begin to follow Jesus. Knowing that these disciples were following him, Jesus turned, the Bible said, and he asked a question. And I believe it's the question that every single one of us ought to ask ourselves this morning. Notice in your Bible, he asked the question back in verse number 38, What seek ye? What seek ye? In other words, what are you searching for? What are you looking for? Can I say something to you this morning? In a world in which we live, Every single body is looking for something. Whether you recognize it or not, whether you've acknowledged it or not, there's something that you're searching for. There's something that you're looking for. It's amazing that we live in a computer society. I got one in my pocket. Most of you have one in yours. And there's computers everywhere. And on those computers, there's apps and applications, and there's websites, and there's even search engines. And most of the apps that you'd be in, at the top, there'll be a little looking like, kind of like a magnifying glass looking symbol. And beside that symbol, we'll see the word search. And you can type something in to that search box, whatever it may be. And I wonder this morning if there was a spiritual Google, if there was a spiritual search engine, and by the way, there is, what would you type in this morning? What would be that thing that you would type in that you are searching for, that you're looking for? Some of you may be here, and maybe you would type in romance or something to do with that, and looking for that kind of a thing, looking for love, looking for somebody to love, looking for somebody to love you. I don't know what would be that thing that you would type in. Some, it might not be romance, but maybe it would be something about finance, and maybe you're concerned about things financially. Maybe you want to do some investments in the coming days. Maybe that you lost your job and you'd be looking for a job, and in as far as that goes, needing money. Maybe somebody would type in a second chance. And maybe that you feel like you failed on life in some area in your life. Maybe you feel like that you're here but you're saved, but you feel like you failed God in some kind of way. And maybe you would type in a second chance. But what is it that you're searching for this morning? Some may type in, oh, especially in the days that we're living in, safety and security. Maybe you look up a security system for your home, maybe something else to do with safety and security, but you would type in something in that search engine having to do with that so you could have some type of safety and protection. Maybe some would type in power or position, and you're climbing the corporate ladder, and that's what you're searching for, the authoritative power. If you were to make an inquiry in the search engine of life, what is it that you would be inquiring about this morning? Jesus turns and he says to these men who had just begun following him, "What seek ye?" Why do you ask this question? You understand, the Lord never asks a question because he needs to know the answer, but he asks a question because he wants us to know the answer. What seek? You want you to notice, first of all, he wanted them to examine their intentions. He wanted them to examine their intentions. Many times throughout scriptures, once again, Jesus tests the motives of his disciples. He asked those that had been following John the Baptist, you'll remember, he asked him, he said, "What went you out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaking in the wind?" In other words, what was you looking for? And on, over and over, he asked that question. Why? He wanted these disciples to examine their motive. Might I say this morning that you and I need to examine our motive when it comes to why we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that has us following him? Jesus didn't ask, "What seek ye?" because he wanted to know. He already knew. But he asked that, "What are you searching for?" He asked them that simply question so they would actually think about and ponder that, the answer. In that day, there was always a crowd following the Lord Jesus. Don't you understand? Everybody wasn't following him for the same reason. Many people followed him for many different things and many different reasons. Some followed because of the miracles and they wanted to see another miracle. And so they followed Jesus that they might see another miracle. Some followed because of some physical problem that they had or some need that they had in their life. They wanted to be cured. They wanted to be healed. They wanted to be helped. Some followed him for his teaching. He was a great teacher and a great rabbi and was saying things that they had never heard before. Some followed him just because everybody else was following him. And they were all searching for something. Many of them were searching for something different. But they were all searching for something that morning when he asked that question. No doubt many believed they were seeking Jesus, but in reality they were seeking something from Jesus. Can I tell you, in my life, especially in my teenage years, I tried many different things looking for something. I was looking for excitement. I was looking for happiness. I was looking for contentment in my life. A teenage boy whose father had walked away and whose family had been uprooted. I was looking for love. I was looking for companionship. I was looking for fellowship. But praise God, one day I walked into an old-fashioned independent Baptist church where a preacher told me God loved me, where a preacher told me God accepted me, where a preacher told me that God wanted me, and that morning I found what I was looking for, and I don't have to look anymore. Oh, yes. What are you searching for this morning? I'm satisfied with what I found. Let me tell you, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:22, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. They're looking for something. Both of them looking for something. The Jews were seeking a sign. They wasn't looking for the next miracle. Can I tell you, some people go, we call it strange fire. Only reason they come to church is looking for some kind of supernatural thing. And by the way, supernatural things do happen in the house of God. Oh, yes. The Greeks seek after wisdom. In other words, they want to put God in a test tube and try and figure him out. Science. Right? Listen, isn't it amazing in our day that technology, I'm talking about, we've got more technology and science than we've ever had before, and we're dumber than we've ever been before? The Bible says it this way: professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Oh, yes. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ. And the Jews are stumbling block, and the Greeks foolishness. But let me ask you, what are you searching for? What are you looking for? Are those that truly seek after Jesus foolish to you? Those that, I'm telling you, we're foolish. Hey, we ought to be, by the way. It ought to be. It's foolish to a lost and dying world what you and I believe. Are you looking for some supernatural sign or experience in your life? No, the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord. That's what we ought to be seeking. That's what we ought to be searching for. See, because I'm telling you, there's coming a day, he said, my spirit will not always strive with man. And you and I ought to be seeking the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added. You may ask them, why are you at church this morning? If they're a preacher, you're supposed to be here. Why are you just, well, what is your motivation for being here? Is it for a program? Thank God for programs. Maybe the junior church, your kids are able to go to junior church. Maybe for the Sunday school program. Maybe for the choir or the music ministry. What is your motivation for being here? Is it for a program? Is it for a position? You get to stand in front of a group of people. Is it for a person to see somebody? Or maybe to be seen by somebody? Is it for a profit? You know, some people only go to church to get business. That's their marketing. Why are you here this morning? What are you looking for? What's the object of your motivation? Because can I tell you, Jesus wanted them to follow him for him. He wanted them to, that's why I asked them the question. You'll remember the question Jesus asked Peter a little later on. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? We know that these was the fish. Peter was a fisherman, and no doubt he loved fishing, and that was his livelihood, and that was his life before he began to follow the Lord Jesus. But I'll tell you what Jesus was really saying to him. In other words, am I more important to you than these fish? What's the most important thing to you? The Lord wants to be our motivation. He wants to be our main thing. He wants to be that which we seek after. Can I say this? Jesus knows and understands that if we're not doing what we do, if we're not serving like we serve for the right motivation, then we're not going to have enough determination to stay the course. Oh, yes, we're not going to have the staying power that we need. And if we're not following Jesus for Jesus, listen, when the miracles stop, when the mountaintop experiences stop, when the blessings stop, when the circumstances change, then we'll just quit following him. But can I say, if our motivation is him, if we're following him not for his possession, but we're following him for his person, oh, listen, not for what he does for us, not for what he can do for us, but instead who he is to us, if we don't follow him for that reason, then we'll not keep following him. It says, what seek ye? We're told very clearly we're to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. The Bible tells us to seek you first the kingdom of God. Why are you following Jesus? Can I ask you, are you just following a crowd? Are you seeking fire insurance? This is a question that we need to ask ourselves. What is the motivation behind why we're following the Lord? Is something wrong in your life physically? Is something, you see those folks, hey, listen, by the way, where can I go but to the Lord? That's, yes, we ought to go to the Lord when we're having hard times, but you see the folks that only go to the Lord when they're having hard times, and when things get better, they're not around the Lord anymore. They're away from the Lord. What's your motivation? Are you seeking what He can do for you, or are you seeking Him? What are you searching for? Because, you see, Jesus wants it to be Him. Well, my kids need to be in church. Yes, they do. Well, preacher, it's just, you know, Sunday morning, I've always been taught that's the place to be. Yes, it is. But why are you here? What's the real motivation behind it? I think when we examine our intentions, sometimes we find that our motivation and the things that's compelling us to follow Him, the thing that's compelling us to come to church, the thing that's compelling us to outwardly, quote, live the Christian life is not always a love we have for Him inwardly. It's not always a desire and a fellowship that we have for the Lord inwardly. It's not always a closer walk that we want with Him inwardly. That's what he means when he makes this statement. He says this in Matthew 15:8, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Verse number 9, he goes on and says, "But in vain they do worship me." Can I tell you, if our motivation isn't right in our worship, then it's in vain. In vain they do worship me. He says it this way in another place, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What's your motivation for being here? If we're seeking Him for anything but that we have a desire, oh, to meet with Him and to bask in His glory and to fellowship with Him, if we're looking for anything else or seeking Him for anything else, it's all in vain. By asking this question, what seek ye? He wanted them to examine their intentions. Notice the second thing in the text. Not only that, but in verse 38, he exposed their interest. Look at your Bible. The Bible says, Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master," watch this. Then Jesus asked the question, they asked Jesus the question, "Where dwellest thou?" Jesus asked them, "What seek ye?" Their answer back to that, "Where dwellest thou?" In other words, he exposed their interest. Now watch this, don't miss this, please. These men didn't invite Jesus back to their home. These men didn't say, "Hey, come and see where we stay. Hey, come and see what we're doing. Come and figure out what we're in on." Oh, no, that's not what they said at all. But they asked him, "Where dwellest thou?" Other words, they wanted to go to his home. Can I tell you, it was not so much that they wanted him to be a part of their lives as it was that they wanted to be a part of his life. And Christian, this morning, every single one of us need to have that in our life, that it's not we're trying to get God in on what we're doing, but oh, we certainly want to be in on what he's doing. He exposed their intentions. He exposed their interest. They wanted to go to his home. Most people want Jesus to come into their lives and to work around their schedule and to work around their needs and help out with their situation. God help us to come to the point in our Christian lives where we simply want to be wherever he is, where we simply want to go wherever he goes. How different our prayers would be if we wanted to go with him rather than wanting him to go with us. Well, if we'd ever get to the place where we would want to be with him, where we want to be a part of his world instead of desiring that he would just simply be a part of our world, no longer would we say, "Lord, I want to do this," but instead we'd say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Can I tell you, we need to get back there with our churches. Used to be somebody would come and join the church and say, "Preacher, what is it that we can help with? How is it that we can serve?" Now it's, "What do you have for us? What program? What thing? How can you serve us?" Oh, if we would get that mindset, we would stop praying, "Lord, bless what I'm doing," and we'd start praying, "Lord, help me to do what you're blessing." Can I tell you this? Little Carter sometimes, all the time, just about when I leave, he'll, "Daddy, I don't go with you." Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter where it is, man. Well, you didn't say, Mom, I'm fixing to go to... Nope, Dad, I won't go with you. You know what that does to me? Teddy, I won't go with you. Imagine what it does to our Savior. I won't go with you. He said, where dwellest thou? Where you stay? We're interested in you, Lord. We're so caught up in ourselves, it's amazing to me. We're so self-centered. We don't care what anyone's doing. We don't care where anyone's going. We don't care what the Lord's doing, what He's not doing in this. We could care less because we're all about us. We live in a selfish, self-centered generation. And I'm telling you that if you want to get God's attention this morning, won't you just ask Him, where dwellest thou? Lord, what are you doing in this world that I can just get in on? Just let me be a little part of what you're doing in this world. He said, where dwellest thou? In other words, we want to be where you be. We want to stay where you stay. We want to abide where you abide. You got to understand, these men had just spent the last couple of years following John the Baptist. And the whole time, John the Baptist, the whole time he's been telling them all about the Lord Jesus Christ. John had been telling them all about the wonderful Son of God. The whole time he was telling them about the coming Messiah and how great he is. John said, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unlatch. They had spent the last couple of years listening to John wax eloquent of how wonderful Jesus is. They had spent the last couple of years listening to John talk about how great he is. And now finally, here he comes, passing right in front of them. And John looks and he can't believe his eyes. Behold, behold the Lamb of God. And all of a sudden, there he is, the one they had heard about. There he is, the one that for so long they had longed to meet. All of a sudden, there he is. The one passing by. And I wonder how many times growing up or before you got saved that did you hear some preacher talk about how wonderful Jesus is? How long before maybe you got saved did you hear some saint of God or somebody talk about just given personal knowledge? You had no personal knowledge of Him, yet you had no personal experience with Him. You had never met Him. You knew nothing about Him. Oh, but how many times have you heard some saint of God talk about His goodness, talk about His faithfulness, talk about His friendship? How often times do you remember talking about, He's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's my rock in a weary land. How many times did you hear Him talk about His power? How many times did they tell you about His provisions? How many times did you hear Him talk about that sweet peace? Oh, how often did you hear Him talk about His mercy and grace? Do you hear Him? Do you remember? Recall hearing them sing, "How great Thou art!" Then sings my soul, "Amen." Hey, friend, you remember that? I remember as a young boy sitting and listening to all that. You'd hear them saints, old saints, talk about how God had provided, how God had met a need, how God had answered a prayer, how God had walked into a situation when man could not help, and money could not help, and medicine could not help, and yet God walks into that situation and fixes it up and shores it up and makes something out of it. And you long to meet that one that was so great. And finally, one day, you sat in some church service. Finally, one day, maybe while you're reading your Bible, finally, one day, maybe it was at a vacation Bible school, and one day while somebody maybe was witnessing to you, hallelujah, Jesus passed by. And after all you had heard about Him, can I tell you this? You wanted more than just a conversation with Him. Oh, yes, you wanted more than just conversation, but you wanted companionship. You wanted more than just conversion, but you wanted His company. That's why I don't understand how people can come to church and get saved and never show up again. Listen, I wanted to know more about Him. I mean, I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more. Can I tell you what Paul said? That I may know Him. Hallelujah. How can you come to Jesus for salvation and leave with salvation and not want to know more about the one who gave you salvation? They said this, "Where dwellest thou?" Boy, this exposed the motive of their intentions. They weren't just seeking a one-time conversion, but they were seeking His company. They didn't just want Jesus to be a part of their life, but they were interested in becoming part of His life. They didn't just want to be interested in them. They don't just want Jesus to be interested in them, but they were interested in Him. Oh, listen, they were interested in what He was doing. They said, "Where dwellest thou?" God helped somebody this morning to make up their mind. I'm going to find me a prayer closet. I'm going to find me a secret place. I'm going to start walking daily with my Lord. And instead of trying to get Him to walk daily with me, oh, I said it the other day, the Bible says that Noah walked with God. It didn't say that God walked with Noah. Hey, friend, this morning, oh, may God help us to find a place where we get alone with God and say, from here on, from this moment forward, I'm interested in You, Lord. Instead of saying, "Lord, won't You get interested in me?" By the way, if He wasn't interested in you, you wouldn't be here right now. Somebody needs to say, "I'm going to start walking with Him because I'm interested in dwelling where He dwells. I'm interested in going where He goes. I'm interested in doing what He does. I'm not interested in what He can do for me, but I'm interested in who He is to me." And so many today, they just want Jesus by way of visitation. When they need something in their life, they want Him to visit. But can I tell you, would to God we'd not just seek visitation, but that we would seek habitation. I love it in Exodus. Oh, Jesus said this. He said, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them." Can I tell you, dwell is a little longer than just stopping by. He desires to dwell with you and you to dwell with Him. They said, "Where dwellest thou?" He examines their intention. He exposes their interest. And then notice this third and final thing. I love it. He extends an invitation. Look at verse number 39. "Where dwellest thou? Come and see." Come and see. Notice, Jesus does not give them a street address, by the way, a town. He simply says, "Come and see." He doesn't give them an itinerant list. The invitation to come to Christ, it's an invitation to follow Him, but it's not an itinerant list. In other words, He doesn't give us all the details about where following Him may take us. He simply offers an invitation for you and I to come and see. In other words, watch this. You do have to take a chance on Him. He didn't get, oh, He told Abraham, He said, "Get up and get out into a land in which I'll show thee." He doesn't always give. You see, the problem with many people don't ever follow the Lord is because they want everything planned out. They want all the details of what, friend, that's not faith. He just said, "Come and see." It's up to you, but if you really want to know about me, come and see. Jump on board. Can I tell you something? If there was no heaven, if there was no hell, if God never did anything else for me than what He's already done, there's still no better life than this life. There's no other way I'd rather live. Oh, listen, there's no other thing I'd rather do than sing the old songs of Zion, sing the old-fashioned hymns, hear old-fashioned Bible preaching, have old-fashioned fellowship with the saints of God. Oh, I'd still rather have this way than any other way this old world can offer. And if you're skeptical this morning and you think we're just making all this up and we're just sensationalizing what we're talking about, and if you think we're being overdramatic about how good the Christian life is, won't you just take Him up on His invitation this morning and come and see. Come and see. I've never heard anybody say, "I've regretted accepting that invitation, follow the Lord." I've never heard anybody say, "I wish I could have come to Jesus. Wish I wouldn't have come to Him when I did," but I've heard a lot of people say, "I wish I'd have come to Him sooner." Can I tell you this? There's a whole world of people out there who's searching for something in this world. Oh, listen, they sacrifice everything they are and everything they have in order to get it. And when they finally get it, they don't want what they got, and they begin searching for something else because it never satisfies. It never pacifies. What are you searching for? Why don't you try Jesus? I've talked to people that's, with the drugs and the booze and the addicted to pornography and just living a life, some of them all kinds of wickedness and being caught up in everything looking for, they found out at the bottom of the bottle, they just need another bottle. After the last pill, they just need another pill. After the bed of fornication, they're on the next one the next day and they figure out it don't satisfy. And I say to them, I say, hey, won't you try Jesus? You've tried everything else. He said, come and see. So many folks, they've tried the immoral lifestyle and they're still looking. Won't you try Jesus? You've tried the highs of this world and you've tried the trinkets of this world. You've tried the drink that this world has to offer and you found out it does not satisfy. But can I tell you this? If you ever try the drink that He offers up, it'll be a well of water springing up in you into everlasting life. Try Jesus. Come and see. I'm going to say this morning, there's never been a time in your life that you've accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. If you don't know that you know that you know, I'm telling you, friend, listen. If you can't look around and tell that we're in those last times, we're in those final hours, nothing else has to happen in order for the Lord's return. If you can't see that, maybe you have no spiritual discernment at all. But I'm saying this morning that there's never been a more dire time for us to make sure that we know we're saved. It's not what you can do. It's not what I can do. It's not what this church can do. The Bible says that Jesus Christ so loved the world, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Every single one of us are sinners. If I got what I deserved, I'd split hell wide open, and so would you. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But hallelujah, I'm glad it didn't stop there. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have an invitation. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that word, whosoever. Can I tell you, that means you, that means me, that means that's not just for the white man, that's not just for the black man, that's not just for the Spanish man, that's for whosoever. Whosoever will come, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me I can walk in this building after all I've done, the life I've lived and be saved? John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the whole sin of the world. I love 1 John. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. What about it? Are you saved this morning? Do you know that you know that if you were to die right now, if the Lord were to return right now, that you'd be in heaven? Do you know that? Are you absolutely certain? And then what about it, Christian? What are you searching for this morning? What are you looking for? What's the motivation of your life? The disciples asked Jesus the question back, where dwellest thou? Do you really want to know more about Him? Are you here this morning? Do you come to Wednesday night Bible study? Do you come to Sunday morning, Sunday night? Do you come to revival meeting? Do you do it to appease a conscience? Do you do it to be seen or to see somebody? Do you do it because it's the right thing to do? Or are you doing it because there is a desire, a motivation in your heart to see Jesus? You see, everything that you'll ever need in your Christian life is wrapped up in Him. I'm glad He's our all in all. He's our all sufficiency. And listen to me, if you live long enough, you're going to come to the place in your life where you're going to be at that place where the Lord is all you have. And hallelujah, I can testify and tell you, when you get to that place, you're going to find out He's all you need. What seek ye? Too often times we go around, I believe, looking for the blessing instead of the blesser. I've been saying for years that I think that we've been too often times looking for the gift instead of the giver. I was talking to a lady, this is in physical therapy, I was talking to a lady just this past week, a lady that works on my back and all that stuff, and I was talking with her. And she said that there's a lady comes in there and she says she claims she's a Christian, she says, she's completely just like empty inside the election. She's like, I've met more people ready to jump off a bridge. I'm going to tell you, I told you this right before the election, that I think God is tired of being replaced by man. Things didn't go the way I would have had it go, but I'm telling you this. There's way too many people that their Savior was in the White House. For too long in this country, well, we thought we've had our faith in God, we've had our faith in the blessings of God. And God this morning wants us to examine our heart and say, what are you looking for? Are you just searching for the blessings, or do you want the blesser? You just want the gifts, or you want the giver? This morning while we stand for prayer, what seek ye?